Alright, we're at day 22 of the I Frankenstein project. So I watched it last night. I had to watch it in two chunks because I had something I had to do in the middle. But after I watched it, there were some things I noticed, but mostly I finally looked into this Fable graphic novel. I thought there was
a bunch of graphic novels. It turns out that's not true. And then I thought that, then I looked everywhere for this thing, and it was not, it like wasn't anywhere. It's not like it's a popular series, surprise of the century, but it appeared that it was nowhere. So I found, there's a website that had I don't know if it was like the movie tie-in or the prequels. I don't know what it was. So the only thing I could really find was the like origin graphic novel, and it gave. So actually, that it, but it was. I mean, it, you know, it was what it was. But so it's by the guy who is the African American demon guy, and he wrote the graphic novel. And he also wrote, I guess he wrote the Underworld series and stuff like that. So he wrote these, and you know what? They weren't like amazing, but I thought they were interesting. I mean, they helped me flesh out these characters. I don't know if they're, I mean, they must be canonical. They're not in any way, shape, or form mentioned in the movie at all, but they, if they're canonical with the movie, it actually, you know, it makes the movie a little bit more interesting. So, what was in the graphic novel? It was that origin story of Wexler, Leonore, and the monster. So the Wexler, they were still a wee bit incoherent, but what I got out of the Wexler one is that it was, Nibirius was like an old, it's kind of like Tangled, like that movie, where he's old and he needs like to put his soul in another thing. And, but this one, okay, that's part of it. Also, they say in this one demons can inhabit human souls that are, like, near death or something. And that's not in the movie. That's not mentioned at all. And if that's the canon, then the movie is incorrect. But, whatever. Anyway, so it's an old person, like an old Prince Nibirius, or, well, anyway, there was a prince, another prince, another demon prince that Nibirius slayed because he was, like, a traitor. Then he becomes prince. That's how he becomes prince. He's not, like, the son of the king. So that's one thing. And then he becomes, so he's an old man demon, and he needs a new body. And so then he finds, like, this young knight. It's, like, 1327 or something like that. And he finds the knight, like, Sir Charles of Wessex. Grown. And then then Sir Charles of Wessex is, like, being hung or hanged, and then he survives, and then he, like, rides away on a horse, and he gets shot with an arrow, and then he's near death, and then the Nibirius, takes his body, and that's the Charles Wessex character. However, this knight is, like, you know, cool 2024, and Bill Nye, he's like 75. So I'm not sure if this is implying that they slowly age. I mean, they must if there's an old man demon. So I guess it works fine. The second one is the Leonore's, the Gargoyle Queen backstory. That I could not follow this one. The Frankenstein one I follow even less. But this one, it was like she was a gargoyle first. But she's like really pretty. And, like, nobody trusts her. This one, I mean, I think I need to read it again, because I literally don't understand it, even thinking about it. Because she was, like, a gargoyle, and then she defeats somebody, and then everyone's happy with her, and they make her queen. But, like, she was really pretty. Hers wasn't that engaging, so maybe I need to read it again. Because I don't really remember it. The Frankenstein one was super confusing. But if I can wrap my head around it, it does make the movie make more sense. So basically, it's like the regular Frankenstein plot. And then I don't think this is not in the Frankenstein. I think he made it up. That he meets a girl in the forest who's blind. I know there's other blind people in the Frankenstein story, but not I don't think in this capacity. So she's blind. She's in the forest. He meets her. He likes her. She likes him. It's kind of like she can't see him, so she loves him kind of thing. So he develops affection for her, and he likes her. So he's, like, finally trusting humans, which does make the line, like, trusting someone is a mistake you only do once, make some sense. And so, actually, I'm hoping this one's canon, except I don't get how it ends. So, anyway, he trusts her for a while, and then he, whatever that was. Oh, and then they're in their little cabin thing in the woods, and the demons break through his wall in kind of like a Kool-Aid man fashion. Break through, and then they're like gonna kill her. And they like swing a sword at her. It might have been a gargoyle. I don't know. Something breaks through his wall. It kind of like, now I think about it, it makes more sense if she's a gargoyle. So I guess they break through, and they're like gonna pretend to kill her, and they like swing a thing at her, and she's like, ah, and then. But then she's like, and he's like, no. And then she turns into a gargoyle. Like, she was a gargoyle the whole time. And then the gargoyles yell at the monster thing. Because they're like, if you had a soul, you wouldn't have put her in danger. Which I don't get. Because it seems like in the few panels, I went back and forth trying to figure out, like, how did he put her in danger? He really didn't. He put her in a cabin. I mean, I guess they're implying he's such a heinous devil beast that he shouldn't deal with anybody, but he was being nice to her. So, anyway, they, like, surprise, she's a gargoyle, and then she floats away, and then the gargoyle goes away, and then he's all alone, and it's sad. And so, if I can wrap my head around why the gargoyles are being such jerks to him, I don't get it. I mean, I don't even think if I read it again, I'll get it, because it doesn't make any sense. So, anyway, but I get it up until then, that, I mean, the basic plot without the gargoyle nonsense is that he had a girl he liked, and then she was taken away from him, and he's sad and lonely, which makes his backstory make more sense as to why he's distrustful of humans, but it makes more sense, like, in addition to the doctor. And then, it makes the whole, like, not trusting people thing make more sense. And it makes more sense when he's guarded against the girl. So a lot more things fall into place, at least for that character. The rest of them are not. The Leonor and Wessex characters are not written with enough texture to even pretend like this backstory makes any sense. So, but the creature, I will now be able to watch it with a bit more perspective. And I'll try to see if I can figure out any of these other backstories. The Wessex one makes no sense. I mean, it makes sense, but it doesn't have anything to do with that character. The Wessex character is nothing. Like, he's the identity of, he's the Bruce Wayne of the Batman, so it doesn't even matter. Anyway. Okay, so my high this time is a shot I never really noticed. Is Jack Courtney's awesome glare. It's like when he's mad at the demon for taking the queen, he's got a hood, and it's like I never noticed how creepy he looks. Like, normally this kind of dopey and like frat guy like, but like in this one he's just like it looks really scary and cool. So anyway, that was I thought that was a cool shot. I never noticed how spooky he looked. So it's actually like a very cool, like, an emo glare. That's my high. My low. Let's see. I don't know. I think the lack of humor, because I noticed this time they had one funny line in the entire movie, and I noticed, like, it was so hidden, and I actually, like, this time I embraced it for, like, the bit of humor that it was, and it was actually, like, I was like, oh, this movie could have been funnier. Like, it could have used a wee bit of humor. Like, not, you know, rolling on the ground funny, but, like, something. I mean, there's nothing. But the one line, it's, Carl, who's the, lab assistant to Dr. Wade, like, she said, like, oh, they use electric eels to power Frankenstein. And then he, like, just, like, add out of nowhere, he's just like, well, you know they're fish. But, like, she, like, barrels over him. So it's not even the line is funny. It was not the delivery was funny. And I think that made me like that whole... I always like that scene. I can never quite figure out why I liked that scene. But it's like, it has a tiny bit of humor. And I think this movie takes itself so seriously that it needed something to lighten it up. So I think this movie could have used a bit more humor to, I don't know, make it more fun. Okay, so that's it for the movie. Writing, I feel really bad. I have not written like 3 days. It's not good. I have a 4-day weekend coming up, and tonight shouldn't be that strenuous. Maybe, I don't know. Just been kind of a weird week. So, still shooting around that idea. I have not written it down yet, so I don't have a good update. I feel bad. Okay, so, still gonna try. As soon as I do it, I'll have an update. I just need to, like, sit down and do it. So, yeah. Sorry. Yep, that's it for now. Okay, so that's it for my updates. I will see you tomorrow. Okay, bye.